Good morning. I just wanted to keep you all in suspense, wondering or not if I was going to preach this morning. I'm so grateful for all of you who are here this morning. Let me start off by saying welcome to all of you who are visiting with us this morning. We want to say welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. We want you to know that we are glad that you're here. And any time that you are able to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, we really hope that you do just that. And for the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, I missed you all and I love you dearly. And no, there's nothing you can do about that. I missed you all and we are glad to be back. But before we begin, I would like to remind us of something that is very important here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. And that is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is to have love for one another as Christ also loved us. Have a zeal and a desire for God's word. And having a mind to work, doing whatever it takes to be busy about our Father's business. And no matter through the ups and downs, we stay focused and we show love to one another, being kind until our Savior returns. A man found a cocoon of a butterfly. And one day that small opening appeared in this cocoon. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through the little hole in the cocoon. Until suddenly, it stopped making any progress. It looked as if it was stuck. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, although it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man didn't think anything of it, and he sat there waiting for the wings to enlarge so the butterfly could take off and be supported by these wings. But that did not happen. The butterfly spent the rest of his life unable to fly, crawling around with tiny wings and a swollen body. Despite the kind heart of this man, he did not understand that the restriction of the cocoon and the struggle needed by the butterfly to get itself through the small opening was God's way of forcing the fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings to prepare itself for flying once it was out of the cocoon. The moral of the story is our struggle in life develops our strengths. And without struggle, there is no progress. We will never grow. We will never get stronger. So it is important for us to tackle the challenges in life relying on God to help us spread our wings and fly and not man. I would like for you all to think on these things. It's the first Sunday of the month, and it's time to get into another lesson from our 2022 theme, A Mind to Work. And again, these series of lessons that we have been going over are designed to help us remember that every baptized believer has an important role in the body of carrying out the will of our Father who is in heaven. No one should be on the sidelines because there is enough work to be done. You know, when Oprah gives out gifts, she shouts out, you get a car, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. And the crowd goes wild because they have received these free gifts. Well, what about us? I'm not going to shout that you're going to get a car. But I will say this morning that God has given each and every one of us a unique gift and a unique talent. And we ought to be excited and we ought to be enthused about using these for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. And I like the way that these lessons have been coming together. I don't know about you, but they have been helpful to me, and I hope they have been helpful to you as well. Here are some of the lessons that we have covered so far. The first one is a mind to work. The second one is, here I am, send me. The third is the unity of teamwork. The fourth is when the enemy attacks. The fifth is revive us again. Then work with a vision in mind. And then we talked about the great expectations. And then prayer, the underrated prelude to power. And this morning, we will talk about being transformed. Being transformed. As our young brother read for us this morning, which is always good to see our young men stepping up and serving in God's kingdom, he read for you Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I want to put emphasis on verses 1 through 3 as we continue throughout this lesson this morning. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, if you have your electronic devices with you or your Bibles this morning, I would love for you to turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning, and we're going to look at a few verses that I believe that should help us as they are the cornerstone and should be the cornerstone of every Christian's life. And the infallible word of God reads, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, in both readings, we are told, number one, not to conform to this world. Number two, to set our minds on the things that are above. And three, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, before a person can have a mind to work, he or she needs to be transformed to work. So the word conform means to shape around something. It means to take shape of something, to be patterned after something, and what we as Christians should be conforming to and patterning ourselves after is the likeness and the image of Jesus the Christ. And as we begin to follow Jesus, a metamorphosis should take place. It should begin. And the shape we are now changing into looks nothing like the world, but looks more like Jesus the Christ. Now, the Greek word to be transformed is metamorpho. And the definition of transformation is to change into another form or image. Really, we are being transformed from one state, one type of thing into another. Now, the word for renewal in the Greek, right, is anakinosis. Anakinosis. It literally means a renovation or to breathe new life into something. So the mind is the part of who we are. From this scripture, it seems clear that the mind is the mechanism of transformation, being transformed by the renewal of your mind. So I want you to know, if you took the mind out of the equation, which helps the body function, it will be impossible for it to do so. The mind impacts every other area of our life as it does the body. So clearly the mind is where we need to start if we're ever going to talk about transformation. If we're ever going to talk about having a mindset to be about our Father's business in His kingdom, Webster describes it this way. It is the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, judges. The word mind in the Greek is also nous. It means the intellect. It means the mind, divine or human, or in thought, feeling or will. So both scriptures and the psychological understanding of the mind define the mind essentially as the part of our brain that both thinks, feels, and wills. So why is this important for us? When we look at 2 again, it tells us by being transformed by the renewing of the mind that by testing, we may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. We should be transformed so that we know what God's will is. That's the purpose of the transformation, because we know what we want. We know what the world desires, but we need to be transformed in such a way that we can discern what God desires from us. This will help us know how we can best serve God in his kingdom. And while transformation directly affects the individual, as it has far-reaching impacts, though, on those who are also around us. So I need for us to understand that that mindset that we have and the way that we operate from day to day just doesn't affect ourselves. It affects everyone around us. In other words, it's not just about us. God has a purpose for each and every one of us, and it doesn't just involve us. Transformation is also for the sake of others. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, looking at verses 3 through 5, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit." I want to stop there. If you think it's all about you, you're selfish. If you think that the gospel message just pertains to you and only for you and not to be shared, that's a selfish mindset. But it goes on to say, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. There are others out here who need to see the Christ in us in order for them to know that transformation is even possible. So it says, let us not look to his own interest only. You can't just look into your own interest, but also the interest of others. It ought to be our interest to share the gospel with others, them seeing us, forming into the characteristics of Christ, living that out, and showing them how it ought to be. So for examples, look at the butterfly, right? To become that beautiful butterfly, it has to go through a metamorphosis, all right? So to get the butterfly to that, it's a process that takes place in order for it to look as beautiful as it does. So for us, a shedding of the old must pass away and the new creature must emerge. It's life that impacts us, so we must understand that the life we ought to be living is that one is pleasing unto God. Now, the butterfly does a great deal for the environment. I just figured this out when I was looking up butterflies. Like bees, they are plant pollinators. And they provide population control for many plants and even insect species by eating them. So about one-third of the food that we eat and we consume depends on the work of the pollinators, such as butterflies. So my point is, as much as you think that what you do only impacts you, when you think about the butterfly and what he does and how it operates, it also helps us. Each of our lives impact those who are around us. So when we come to a service like this, saints, we should come with something to give and to share with others. We should be of the mindset, saints, that who can I encourage today? Who can I share the gospel with today? And people just don't need encouragement when things have fallen apart. Most of us need encouragement to keep going. And I think we miss that. See, if you're here for self alone, like they say at NASA, when things went wrong, Houston, we have a problem. See, there is always a heartache in every pew. There is always somebody struggling. There is always somebody going into a storm. There's always somebody coming out of a storm. And there's always somebody going into one. When we come together, we need to be ready to assist in the struggle. If that doesn't happen, then we have a problem. Because it's not a matter of if life happens, it's when. So we know that the transformation means being changed from one state to another. We know that it involves being transformed into the image and the likeness and the wholeness of Jesus the Christ. So we know why. And that's why we can know God and know that He is a partner that we can depend on. So very quickly, let's talk about the transformation that takes place. I have a few points and a lesson will be yours. I want to shift gears to talk about how the mind plays an important part in the transformation process, how we move from information to transformation, how we move from information to transformation. So let's begin with the gutting. I thought about using the word declutter at first, but when you use the word declutter, and we tend to use the word declutter, I think it's just a matter of when we say we're going to declutter, it doesn't mean that we're getting rid of things. It means that we're just going to move some stuff around. We're going to move it from this side of the room to this side of the room. Not get rid of it or put it up on a higher shelf or put it in the attic or move it to the garage, but not get rid of it completely. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we're told to put off the old man, the former man, the old life, the ungodly things we used to do. I want you to listen to what it says in verses 22 through 24. It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Transformation begins with getting rid of the clutter and the corruption. See, there are things in this life that draws us away from God. And when we give our life to Christ, we must send the old stuff packing. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Have you ever been driving along and you've seen one of those big garbage dumpsters in front of a house? And when you see those things, those big dumpsters outside the house, because usually there's some renovation going on. There is some gutting going on. If it's full of junk, usually it's full of what? Rotten wood and an old toilet and mirrors and sinks and stuff like that, ruined furniture. They're getting rid of all this old clothes and garbage. All that stuff is filled in there. So when those homes are allowed to sit without any care, guess what? They fall apart, don't they? Have you ever driven by a house and it's just a house sitting there and it has vines and trees and all types of stuff growing inside of it because it's been neglected? And those homes sometimes usually turn into dumping grounds for old tires, for old mattresses, right? People start throwing stuff over and hiding things in it because people don't see the value in them anymore. So the same can happen to our spiritual house, where we no longer see the value of getting rid of the clutter and the things that are corrupting us, the things that are separating us from God. And when that happens, over time, it becomes an accumulation of what the world says is okay. You don't have an accumulation of the Spirit. You don't have accumulation of love. You don't have the accumulation of the characteristics of God. You have the accumulation of the things of this world, which we know will rot, which we know will pass away, which we know don't have any value when it comes to heaven. So we must be mindful that we got to get rid of that. So we have to clear it out. And if you don't, what ends up happening is you become what I say or what we do have today are miserable people. You also will not understand that your self-worth meter is on empty. So the transformation can only begin when the junk is out. But here's the thing. In order to keep it out, you got to figure out how it got in the first place. See, a lot of times we got a lot of junk and we don't understand how it's getting in. That's why it's not moving. That's why things aren't changing. That's why you're in the same place you were 10 years ago. That's why your relationship hasn't grown. That's why your personal and your intimate relationship with God hasn't gotten any better, because you don't know how you got the way you are in the first place. But what needs to happen is an evaluation needs to take place. So what we have to do is understand about inputs, right? This is what's known as filtering in. So I want to talk about inputs very quickly. What are inputs? Inputs are things that we see on television. Inputs are things that we read. Inputs are things that we hear or listen to on the radio, right? And we become so accustomed to it that our friends and our families and social media becomes the transformation process that we look to become what we are. Think about it like this. Inputs happen constantly, and it becomes a part of your normal existence. We live in a world that has tons of inputs, and inputs can be either healthy or unhealthy. Either way, we must understand that they are transformative. Have you ever spent a considerable amount of time in another area or region or around family members, and you find yourself talking like them, using some of the slang that they use, right? Because a lot of people come from up north, and then they live down south for a while. They go back up north. They say, hey, man, why you talk like that? Why are you saying y'all? For people from Louisville, why are you saying over? Back up there, right? But that's what happens, because it becomes transformative, because you become accustomed to it. The inputs that you're hearing, the things, the radio, the television station, the people that you're hanging around, it becomes transformative. So what do you think sin does to you if you're around sin? If you allow it in, if you're spending time around it, it becomes transformative. It becomes who you are. And it's sad to say that a lot of household has given Satan an open invitation because of these inputs. These inputs are attacking our children. These inputs are attacking our marriages. These inputs are attacking our families. And I'm going to tell you something. It happens through social media. Well, Satan media sounds about accurate to me, but at the end of the day, we must understand that we as parents and as believers are the foundation of our children, who are the future of tomorrow of the Lord's church. See, we're so concerned about the future of what they're going to be in the world, but what about the future of what they will become in God's kingdom? I'm telling you, it's not many people knocking down doors saying, hey, I want to be a preacher. There are not many men saying, yeah, I desire at some point to serve in God's kingdom, to preach God's word, to serve as an elder, to serve as a deacon. And yes, there are many things that we can do, and God has given us many gifts and talents, but I'm telling you, there are not many young men who are saying, I aspire to be like Jesus the Christ and preach the gospel message. That's not happening. And they are the future. I'm talking about, can you imagine what we see now in the children today and how they act? These are the future doctors, lawyers, right? These people that's going to be putting you to sleep, cutting your body open. And we live in a society today where don't nobody want to work. Everything's supposed to come easy. We're in an entitled generation. I'm telling you that a transformation needs to happen, but it starts with the foundation of us. And what we allow our young eyes and ears to see, especially with our young people, it can damage them. It can damage them for life, and it causes them to live a life of sin later. I don't know if you've seen it, but I was watching the game yesterday. Go Dawgs. And they did a commercial about something about a little demon or something like this, where this young girl the mother had a relationship, I'm assuming, with the devil, and she was born as a result of it. And it's this whole ordeal where it's simply, regardless of the fact how funny it's supposed to be or how made up it is, really all it is doing for our young people, because it's a cartoon, is making them insensitive to the things that they need to be concerned about. Going to hell isn't a joke. You know, being a demon or being separated from God, anything that's darkness that doesn't pertain to light isn't a joke. But here we have a cartoon that's making light of the devil and his relationship with a human woman and her having a child as a spawn and all these demons and stuff and these grotesque images, and children are going to watch this. And they're going to make light of it and think that the devil ain't real. That's a joke. That's funny. And you don't think that a transformation needs to be taking place? Our mindset doesn't need to change? Because every click on the social media, every time you turn on the television, there is a message that they're sending, especially to our children. Nothing is. My children got the little tablets, and when they play little games, ads pop up. And some of these ads aren't for children. And they mean it that way. They got it so much so that you can type in one letter, and it can go far beyond what you want them to see or know. The foundation matters. Remember, we must not conform to the world, but be transformed. David said in Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8, I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you. O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. You know, since we live in this world, we're told not to conform to it and be nothing like it. So how can we control these inputs? What is it that we need to do? Because many can be avoided when we clean our house and make up our minds to live for Christ. So while other inputs are there, we must gain control about this. And I want you to think about this. We must take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. When we have the remarkable ability to examine our thoughts as they come, you will be in a whole different realm. Think about 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. If we seriously want to live a transformed life, one that's pleasing to God, we must allow God, right, and Jesus, following him, to be the Lord of our lives. And we should take everything and make it obedient to him. See, our thoughts are the catalyst that sets the course for us. Your thoughts are, right? So this is where positivity and negativity, good and poor choices come from. So the easiest thing to do is let the mind run rampant. But we must recognize that not every thought is true. So when we take our thoughts captive, we are holding them hostage. This allows us time to search the scriptures and pray to see if these inputs that are coming in, the thoughts that we're getting, the things that our eyes are seeing, the things that our ears are hearing, are pleasing to God. And we must ask ourselves, is this the way of Jesus, or is this the way of Jesus with the heart of Jesus? You got to ask yourself this. And if not, we must make it obedient to who Jesus is and what Jesus says. And if you can't do it, you shouldn't be doing it. Case in point, I always say this for my young people, especially when, you know, a lot of people try to justify their actions. One rule of thumb that will help you: if you can't say amen after you've done it or thank God while you're doing it, then you don't need to be doing it. This is how crazy it sounds and how crazy it looks. Thank you, God, for allowing me to beat my wife. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to steal money from people. Amen. Lord, thank you for this needle that I'm putting in my arm, these drugs that I'm selling to people. Thank you. Thank you for the hatred that I have in my heart. Praise you, oh Lord. You see how crazy that sounds? That means you don't need to be doing it. But if you can say, thank you, Father, for the ability to pray to you. Thank you, Father, for your Son who died on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the apostles who had the Holy Spirit to write it down so that we can have a biblical map to do your will. Thank you, Father. It is in your name we pray. Amen. That's the difference. Does it line up with his nature? His very nature. We take our thoughts captive by not letting them own us or not allowing them to dwell in our hearts in an unhealthy way. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What we need to do is what I've told you before. We need to do an inventory check and check ourselves from time to time. Oh, we're a little low on the attitude. I need to work on that. My inventory is a little low on my speech and my language and how I talk to people. My attitude and how I respond to others is a little low. I need to change that. The bitterness that I have in my heart, yeah, that my inventory is a little low. I need to change that. My willingness to spend time in God's word, I'm not doing that enough. I need to change that. We need to start taking inventory of the things that we need to change. Did I put away the old man, woman? Ask yourself, what metamorphosis took place when you went down in the watery grave of baptism? What changed? What transformed you, or what did you transform into? Did you truly change, or did you just get wet? Did your mindset change? Did your love for his word change? I'll tell you this, the world is not getting any better. And we all know that Jesus is coming soon. Morning, night, and many will meet their doom. The trumpets will surely sound, and all of the dead shall rise, and righteousness meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heaven worth bound. And I want you to know that we're closer to that day than we were yesterday. And I don't know about you, beloved, but we have to have a mind to do what God is telling us to do, whether we like it or not, whether it's comfortable for us or not. And if it doesn't make you afraid, it needs to. You need to be very afraid. I'm telling you, on the day of judgment, a lot of people who think that they were doing what they were supposed to do, and they will find out that they weren't, and it's going to be too late. None of us knows when the Savior will return. And I would not take a chance on that. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, and whoever believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. The question is, if you have not been baptized, will you be baptized today? And if you obeyed, but you've been struggling with sin, are you willing to repent today? I think you should repent of your sins and come home. I think you should put Christ on in baptism and become a new creature in Christ. Changing who you are, what you used to do, how you used to think, how you used to believe, you can do that today. And if you just need prayer, come forth. Make it known what it is you need. The one thing that I've learned, do not allow shame and embarrassment to keep you from coming to Christ. This is the house for the sick, the broken, and the needy. Don't just sit there because you're worried about what somebody else is going to think about you. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. It amazes me that one is afraid to come before God and ask for forgiveness, but was not afraid to sin. You weren't afraid to do what you did. You weren't scared to go out and do whatever you were doing. You're not afraid to continue to battle with that thing that you're battling with every day, because everybody in here has fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody in here is battling with something. Nobody in here is perfect, because if you are, I need you to have died for my sins. I would rather be more concerned about how my God sees me than any man that has no heaven or hell to put me in. So if you're here this morning and it is a time for you to be transformed today as together we stand and together we sing.